When Pastor started off talking about the youth and then the song leader was young, I said, uh-oh, wait for it. Everyone except for that youth director. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. I appreciated the young people tonight. What a blessing. Now, I don't know how many of you would remember Mount Zion Marathon, but that's what I thought about during the skit. Does anybody remember that one? Make way for PR, you know, the one packed with all of this stuff on him, pack rat. That was a blessing. In Matthew chapter 13, we read a very well-known parable to us, the parable of the sower. Before he gets to that place, he's spending a lot of time dealing with opposition, talking about Jesus. He had to deal with them opposing him concerning his disciples eating, working in the field, trying to get some food on the Sabbath day. They were asking him, show us a sign. And then he gave them the sign of Jonah the prophet. And also in chapter 12, you also see where them confronting him, they're not criticizing the Son of Man. They were blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So all of this is the backdrop just before we come to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 1. And I mention all of that because Matthew 13, 1 starts off, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." We'll read one more verse. "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" We're going to cover the first 23 verses of this chapter, but I wanted to give you that first bit about the parables and about this parable itself. And my question to you is, what kind of ground are you? And I would like for you to think about that as we go through all of this scripture. This one question that ought to be introspective, not thinking about your neighbor, I wonder what kind of ground he is. But we think about ourselves. And I'd love for my young people and the teens to really be thinking about this question. What kind of ground are you? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Good evening, dear Heavenly Father. I thank you so much for this church. Thank you for this assembly that's here tonight. Thank you for those that have tuned in via live stream. Father, I pray that you would help me to say all and only what you once said, and I pray that you would hide from me anything that my flesh might want to say, but you do not want to have said. Lord, I ask that you would please be with this assembly. I pray that as I speak to their ears, that your Spirit would speak to our hearts. Father, I love you, and I'm trusting you to hear and answer this prayer, for I pray it by faith in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. The verse that would be a good one to memorize is the very last verse that we're going to read tonight, and that's verse 23. "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit." I wanted to give you the goal, the end result that we're looking for as we consider this parable. First of all, I want you to think about the fact that Jesus the master teacher, he sat by the seaside, and as great multitudes were starting to gather, he was there trying to teach the multitudes. And whenever you're standing in front of people directly, their bodies start to absorb the sound. So what he did was he got into a boat, a ship, the Bible says, and he sat down while the multitudes stood on the shore listening to him. And I thought that was interesting, preacher. Back then, the teacher sat down and the pupils stood up. Here it's just the reverse. But the multitudes stood on the shore and he had their attention. And the Bible says in verse 3 that he spake many things unto them in parables. Now, when you look at the other gospels, like Luke chapter 8, the Bible says that the crowd came out of every city. Jesus knew how to draw a crowd, you know? And everything that he said was the word of God. Now, as he gave them a parable, it was something that they could easily relate to. Sower, sowing the word. Some of you that might not be familiar with sowing is talking about a farmer. And this kind of farmer that went out and sowed seed upon all this different kinds of ground is what we would call, what kind of sower was that, Pastor? A broadcaster. It wasn't the kind where you would plow a row and then dig a hole and put seeds into each one of those holes and cover it up. This was a broadcaster. No doubt he had some kind of a sack or a satchel, and he would reach into that satchel and just kind of spread that seed, casting it broadly. And he was indiscriminate. He did not discriminate on where that seed was going to land. Some of it would land on by the wayside, some on stony ground, and et cetera. But he would just cast it, and wherever he spread it, that's where it landed. And they were very familiar because no doubt with them where they were, they could probably look around and see someone out in the field working his field. It was something that they could relate to. And if you were to look at what is a parable? A parable is something that's to throw alongside. So it's something that he's using as a story placed along the side of the truth to illuminate it. And what a parable does is it will reveal the truth to believers, and it would conceal the truth to those that are hard-hearted. Amazing what the Lord can do with the same parable. But that's what he chose to do. And with the wayside, it's interesting. If you were to just to look at the prepositions, it gives you a lot of good descriptions. In verses 4, 5, 7, and 8, the Bible said that seed fell by the wayside, by the path, never truly entered anything. The seed fell upon stony places, surface level reception, no depth of earth. Seed fell among the thorns. So it's in competition with those thorn bushes for sunlight, as well as for nutrients from the ground. It was in competition as it was sown among the thorns. And seed that fell into good ground. It was ground that was already broken up and ready to be received deeply. So as we see in the parable, we see that the sower doesn't change. The seed doesn't change. Only the soil changes. And so here's what I'm asking you. What kind of ground are you? Now, some of my young people might get this illustration as I talk about phone notifications. No, I'm not demonizing your phone, okay? I think just about every single one of us has one. But as we think about the seed that's being broadcasted, I want you to compare it to a phone notification. Some teens, they might, when they get that notification, they might immediately dismiss it. That's by the wayside. Some open it, read it, and then forget about it. That's the stony ground. Some may start to respond to it, but then they get distracted by a bunch of other notifications, and that's being sown among the thorns. And some actually save it, act on it, and let it change their behavior. That is the good ground. Amen. God's word in this case that I'm using is the notification. The question is, what are you going to do with it? All right. Point number one, if I could have given you my points so that you can keep up with me. Point number one is the parable. Point number two is the privilege. And I wanted to get through the parable because I think that you all are familiar with it. But the privilege is this. As he was on that ship, and now I want you to think about this, okay? He's on that ship and he's speaking to the multitudes that are on the shore. He's giving them this parable, and this is the first of the kingdom parables. And his disciples are in the boat with him. And he gives this parable, and what does it say in verse 10? And disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? So he's sitting there in the boat, and he's speaking to the people. And one of his disciples comes up to him and says, why are you speaking to them in parables? Now, they've heard him speak proverbs, you know, giving some illustrations. But this was the first time that he's really spoken broadly. Now, also, one, he's got multitudes, so there's going to be a variety of different hearts that we're going to examine here shortly. No doubt there are going to be Pharisees that are in this crowd because they followed him. It didn't matter if they hated him or not. They were following him. So he's going to speak to them in parables for the first time, and that kind of caught them off guard. So what does Jesus do? Jesus is sitting there speaking, giving them parables. The disciples behind him said, why speakest thou unto them in parables? So then Jesus turns to his disciples. Now I'm going to turn back to you. You're the disciples. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Do you understand the privilege? There was a time, preacher, where I thought to myself, I'm like one born out of due time. Boy, I would have loved to have been back there when Jesus was preaching and teaching, when he walked here in the flesh. After I started examining like this first parable, I started thinking, Lord, I'm content being born when and where I am. Amen. We've got the entire canon of Scripture. Do you know for them, this was cutting edge? This was brand new, where he's speaking a parable, and there are people that are standing there, no doubt. What is he talking about? Can you imagine? And then somebody else, what would make it worse, is you're standing there with a friend. Oh, and he's saying, man, I get that. You know, what do you get? I don't understand. Because the ones that it was hidden from, they might have been the ones that had the hard hearts. Thank God I wasn't back there at that time. You know, we could hope that at whenever our time comes to die, that we'll die in a manner that pleases and honors our Savior. But do we know that? We don't know that. Just the same way, I don't know what kind of decision I would have made if I was back there at that time. Thank God I was not one of those back there that said, crucify him. Oh, my soul. Thank God for when we were born and we've got the entire Bible to be able to reflect on. See, when we read passages like this, we're like, okay, yeah, he gave them parables. Do you understand what that is? What if you were there in the flesh? And what a privilege his disciples had. They said, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. And then he does some comparisons. He does some comparisons between those that it's given and those that are not given. And it's, look, spiritual understanding is a gift. You didn't earn that. I'm sorry, preacher, my mind wanders sometimes. You didn't build that, but no, that's a different context. Sorry. Those, there are some that it was given to, and then there are others that it's not given to. And that knowledge of the kingdom of the mysteries, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, it wasn't something that people could achieve. It had to be given. And if you're saved today, if you are truly born again, it is only because the Lord allowed enough of the gospel light to shine so that you could understand your sinful condition, repent of it, and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the only reason why. You didn't do anything to earn salvation. And then he compares those having versus having not. He said, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath." That's what these parables did. And then he contrasts those that can see and hear to those that can't see or hear. He said, let's continue in verse 13. "Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah," or Isaiah, "which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." And then he says to his disciples, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." I hope that you Bible-believing Christians understand the privilege that he's given us to have his entire word. "For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." And do you understand how many kings and prophets and holy men of God in time past looked for the Messiah? And we get the privilege of being able to look back when he actually came. They looked for him in faith and they longed for his arrival. And we're blessed to be able to say, "I met him. He saved my soul. And he lives within me." That is the privilege. You're sitting in church tonight with an open Bible. Prophets and kings long to see what you're seeing right now from God's word. This is not normal. This is a privilege. The question is, are your spiritual ears open or are you just physically present? You know, every teenager that's raised in church has been given enormous spiritual privileges. The danger is taking it for granted. Brother, when you've heard the gospel so many times and it stops moving you, you're in dangerous territory. Amen. I tell my teens in Sunday school that I have five basics to keep you from backsliding. One is to read your Bible every day. Secondly is to pray without ceasing. Thirdly is to go to the right church. Fourth is to witness or at least give your testimony to somebody. And fifth is to meditate. You can meditate on the four things that we've already discussed as being foundational. But that thing about witnessing and giving your testimony, you talk about something that will keep you fresh. It will keep you from your salvation story getting stale. It'll keep you, it will allow you to remember, and it stays with you, and you never lose the wonder of it. The danger is when we stop telling others. That's right. What a privilege. So we have the parable. We have the privilege. Lastly, we have the plain truth. Oh my goodness. Starting in verse 18. After he's... before we get to that, didn't he say in another one of the Gospels, he said, "Know ye not this parable?" I would not want the Lord to ask me that question. "Lord, why do you talk to them in parables? Hey, what does that mean?" Well, wait a minute. "Know ye not this parable? Then how shall you know all parables?" In verse 18, he says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." He's still in the ship. His back is still to the people on the shore. He was giving them the parable. Now he's turned to his disciples. The Bible doesn't say he got off that ship. He's turned to his disciples and he's giving them this privileged information. "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside." That wayside hearer. Unfortunately, this is soil number one, the hard heart. He says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, the wicked one snatches it away. That's why I say, our young people that have grown up in a church like this, where you hear the gospel and you're listening to messages and you're listening to music, you're listening to, you're memorizing Bible verses, what an advantage they have over the world. But someone out there, when they hear it, they don't understand it, and the wicked one comes and snatches it away. In one of the other Gospels, I believe it's Mark, he said, "Satan cometh immediately." He tries to get it before they get a hold of it. And what's his objective? He wants them to burn. Luke 8:12 reveals that very thing. It says, "Lest they should believe and be saved." Spiritual hardness. With that kind of ground, the seed or the word never penetrates. Soil number two, the shallow heart. Look at verses 20 and 21. "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon," or immediately, "with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." This is the shallow heart. Receives the word with joy. There's a lot of emotion with it. Now, you can think of, I'm sure, without me detailing it, I'm sure you can think of some scenarios or situations where someone might receive the word or might receive that invitation quickly because they're excited about it. Maybe they see their friends who came to the same revival, and their friends who are convicted about their sin, they're weeping and they can't wait to go forward. "Preacher, please give the invitation. Preacher, please give the invitation. I need to get saved." So those two have gotten it. And they go forward in this one because, I don't want to be left out. Uh-oh, that's the wrong motivation. Or maybe there was some other type of emotional appeal. I've heard some people talk about, "I want to go to heaven so I can be with my grandmother." That's sweet, but that's the wrong motivation. You know, the Gospel of Luke, it not only talks about tribulation or persecution. Luke 8:13 shifts it and says that they not only fall away because of pure persecution, but also in a time of temptation. So there might be an outward battle for as far as persecution, but then there's also an internal collapse because of temptation to sin. And that will happen to the shallow heart. And you know, I wonder, I can't prove this, but I wonder, this is the BRV here. I wonder if some of the little shorts or YouTube clips and all of that stuff where somebody wants to complain about the church that they went to or they grew up in a house that was all strict and stuff. I wonder if those were shallow heart conversions. Let's go on to the third soil, the crowded heart in verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he, not the word, he becometh unfruitful. God's word is not unfruitful. Now, we might limit the Holy One of Israel, but that's our fault. That's not his word's fault. It is not his will that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. If they don't get saved, it's not his fault. His word does not return void. It's our fault. And Matthew mentions two of the categories that will crowd the word like thorns: the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. The Gospel of Mark adds a third kind of thorn when he mentions the lusts of other things. Luke 8:14 adds a fourth when he says, as well as the pleasures of this life. So you've got anxiety, you've got avarice or greed, you've got appetites, and you've got amusement. Those can be the thorns that will encroach around the world. Now, I know that there might be some debate with some people as far as, is the thorny ground here, are they really born again or are they lost? The Bible says that there was a plant there, but just that it did not bring any fruit to perfection. You can study that out for yourself. God does look for fruit. But there was a plant there. It just couldn't produce any fruit. Why? Because there was anxiety, the care of this world, there was avarice, there was greed, there was appetites, and there was amusement, and all of those things will have crowded in on that plant so that it could bring no fruit to perfection. It tried to bear fruit, but it couldn't bring any fruit to perfection. And I think that, I believe, and you can debate me if you want to, I believe that person is saved. But I believe that they are just unproductive. They don't do anything for the Lord. I believe that's the kind of person that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that, forgive me for my paraphrase, they get in by the skin of their teeth. Because they don't have any gold, silver, or precious stones. All they have is wood, hay, and stubble. So when it goes through the fire, woof, it's all gone. There's nothing there. They barely make it in, if I can say it like that. So with all of those competing priorities, the word gets crowded, and that person, now it doesn't get kicked out, but it gets crowded out. Anybody in here over the age of 20, I think that you have a greater advantage than younger. I shouldn't say it like that. Only reason I was thinking about that is because I don't know how many hundreds of notifications we get on our devices. And all of them have been designed by companies that have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to know what kind of sound and what shade of color and how to make it appear to get your attention. It's what they desire now is, we're in the information age. I think we kind of passed through that. We're not needing more information. We're drowning in information. But I think what we're lacking is wisdom, and they're attacking our focus. And if I mention anybody over 20, I think we know the difference. There was a time way back in 19, when we didn't have cell phones and all of that stuff. Didn't I sound... Anyway, I'll leave that alone. The clock is ticking, and Brother Reynolds needs to land this plane. Actually, he's still talking to his disciples while the crowd is standing out there on the shore. Let's get to the last one, the soil number four, the receptive heart. We dealt with the hard heart, the shallow heart, the crowded heart. Now we're dealing with the receptive heart in verse 23, and we're still privileged to be able to get this inside information from the Lord. He says, "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30." And in the other passage, I believe it's in Mark, he goes in the other order where he says some 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. That's the good heart. And that's why I believe our young people are blessed to grow up in a place like this. They hear the word. Even if they sit there, what is it? How firm a foundation. You can tell I spend time with children. But when the time comes, they remember what you parents shared with them. They remember what you soul winners shared with them. Because they received that seed and they understand it. That's what Mama was saying. And this ground, this receptive heart, as you notice, it's the only one that bears fruit. And there's varying degrees because it depends on how they deal with their soil, their soul, with their heart. How do you take care of stony ground where you're going to have to get a plow in there and you're going to have to do some digging, you're going to have to move some big rocks, some small rocks or whatever? How do you deal with those with the thorny ground? You know what? It's going to hurt. Because when you're dealing with those thorns, whether it's greed or whether it's anxiety or it's appetites, because I want what I want, or it's entertainment, you're not going to take my video game. You're not going to take my Netflix. You're not. Those are thorns.
Yes. Amen.
And for you to try to take it from them, it's going to hurt some. Y'all hear me? But you can get it there, but it's going to take a plow, and it's going to be painful as you pull away those thorns. It might prick your heart for a little while. And depending on, like Luke 8:15, he further fills out this portrait by saying, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So in an honest and a good heart, I won't ask you to give me the answer. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. If the Lord does, that's his business. But do we read our Bibles every day? Can we say that we have a good heart about it? We have the completed canon of Scripture.
Amen.
We have what Jesus said as a privilege to his disciples. Now, in the next verse, another parable put he forth unto them, so he's going to turn back to the crowd in just a moment. But he took some time to develop his disciples. And he wants us to know and understand what good ground looks like. Yes, we're gonna have to keep people from walking on our grass and turning it into that hard wayside. We're gonna have to get rid of some of the stone, and we might have to dig a little bit deeper and get rid of whatever is under there that's causing the shallow root system. We're going to have to put on some special gloves, and we might have to deal with a little bit of pain as we rip some of these thorns out of there And I mean, you might hear some moaning. There might be some weeping. But that will determine how much fruit we produce. Somebody who gets rid of the stones, well, let's say this. Somebody who gets rid of some of the thorns, but they don't do anything about the stones, they might be able to produce 30-fold. Thank God for his economy. He deals with multiplication instead of just addition. So if you put forth some effort into what he said do, he'll multiply it. Amen. And he said you'll have abundance. But if they get rid of the thorns and they take care of some of the getting some of the stones out there, they might be able to have a 60-fold increase. That's not 30% and 60%. That's 30 times as much. That's 60 times as much. And if they have a good and honest heart, they read their Bibles, pray every day, amen, and all of those other things that helps them to get to 100-fold. Who is at that place of 100-fold? Probably that individual that can honestly sing, "Nothing between my soul and the Savior." The good ground is not perfect, but it is prepared and it's responsive and it is fruitful. Teens, let me give you an idea of what this might look like practically. A teenager who's a student in Sunday school or in one of the worship services, and they bring a journal with them. They bring a notebook with them, and they're taking notes, and they're asking questions, and they go home, and they actually think about the message that was given. You know, one of the dangers, look, I'm not against fellowship. I think we've got a wonderful crowd, and we enjoy some good fellowship. And sometimes when I'm on lockup, there's a little bit too much fellowship. But anyway, we can have some good fellowship. But one of the dangers of that is, if I can call it a danger, is that we might not be talking about what that message meant to us. Did you see that game? Yeah, I saw that game. Hey, what did you watch? Oh, I watched this. Oh, did you hear this thing? Oh, no, I didn't hear that. Well, how'd they go? Oh, la, la. No. But we don't. That's why sometimes I don't look around at anybody. But every once in a while, I try to sit there for a moment and think about what I just learned. I'm not being antisocial. I come around and find Brother Ed and I shake his hand, right? But sometimes I think it would do us good. Because look, you might hear a good message. You might even say, "Amen, preacher." But then by Tuesday, you don't even remember what was preached. Now, if you wrote it down, that might jog your memory. But if you wrote it down, see it, and talk about it, you'll remember 96% of it even a week later. I'm just concerned that maybe some believers, I'm not just talking about at Northview, I'm talking about believers across the land. We come in and, "Amen, that was good," and then we run out. "Where are we going for lunch? Oh, what are we going to eat? Do we need to run a food line?" That's the party, that's the after party for Northview. Everybody runs into each other at Food Lion. But I think it would do us good to take some notes. And young people, if your friends want to talk about everything under the sun, indulge them for a little bit and then see if you can turn that conversation into a spiritual one. Amen. I think that I'm going to end here because it looks like Jesus is just about to turn back to the crowd, that the multitudes that are standing on the shore, and give them another kingdom parable. He gave us four soils tonight. Only one of them is fruitful. And what I want you to understand is if by some chance you have a shallow heart, whatever the circumstances was that you trusted in Christ, you don't have to stay there. And anybody watching via live stream, you don't have to stay there. We just have to figure out how to deepen those roots. If somebody is dealing with a thorny ground, you don't have to stay there. And you know what? Here is where some good friends come into play. Bad friends will mess you up. Good friends can help get rid of those thorny bushes. Because then as the thorn bushes get pulled out of the way, hey, we start to see some light. We're not competing with the thorn bushes in order to get nutrients from the soil. Don't fight the plow when the preacher starts, especially if pastor starts naming sin. Preacher, don't go there. don't do that. Let's take it with a good and honest heart. I don't know about you, but sometimes it might feel like, why is pastor looking at me? When he's saying it, why is he staying right there? Okay, preacher, move on to the next one. You know, if that is ever the case, thank you, Lord. I needed to hear that. Now, don't let me get away. Don't let somebody run over here and start talking to me about something else later. If you're doing business with me now, let me do business with you at the altar by making some good, honest decisions. I pray that this has been some help to somebody in here tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. Lord, you know the multitude of things that came to my mind, and I thank you for dispelling them as quickly as they did. Thank you for your word. Lord, we are privileged to be able to see what you gave to your closest disciples. Thank you for the privilege of being able to understand you explaining these parables. Thank you so much for giving us that privilege some 2,000 years later. Father, I pray that you would find in this place a people who have good and honest hearts, and that they're not willing to just rush in and run out, but if you've spoken to their hearts, they will honestly deal with you at the invitation time, whether they come to the altar or they pray at their seat or they find a good friend to pray with them. Wouldn't it be a blessing if some young people had their parents pray with them now? Father, I pray that you would develop the soil in this building. Regardless of what kind of soil it was, I pray that we would work toward being receptive hearts. This I ask in Jesus' name. Pastor, you can close as you see fit.
Brethren, let's stand together for prayer.